This is session number 54 of the Gospel according to John. Today, we continue in John chapter 8, and we'll be coming to verse 12. Last time we saw Jesus Christ teaching in the temple, and the scribes and Pharisees interrupting him with a woman who they found caught in the act of adultery. And we saw Jesus not compromising truth or judgment 1 ounce, but Jesus also being full of mercy and forgiveness and true grace. And when these religious leaders just wanted to condemn this woman and ultimately condemn Jesus, we see Jesus not only not condemning her, but giving her the grace and the command and the power to go and sin no more. What a good Lord we have. What a wonderful Lord. Today we come to verse 12, where Jesus is going to pick it back up and continue his teaching after he was so rudely interrupted. And then we're going to see this back and forth for the rest of this chapter between Jesus and the Pharisees. There's going to be this back and forth. Jesus will reveal some truth, and then they'll come against it. He'll reveal more truth. They'll come against it. He'll reveal more truth. They'll come against it. And ultimately, Jesus will reveal arguably the greatest truth of who he is, and they're going to want to kill him. And that's how this chapter is going to unfold as we move forward. This chapter really, I believe, is where Jesus really shines the full light of who he is, brighter than anywhere else in his public ministry. It's right here in John chapter 8, which is why, in verse 12, he's going to reveal who he is as the light of the world. So let's read here in chapter 8. We'll read verses 12 through 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. But I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So this is Jesus teaching in the treasury, in the temple. And he goes back to his teaching before he was so rudely interrupted. By the way, Jesus let them interrupt him, and he actually used their evil intentions ultimately for good, so that he could have a personal encounter with a woman who desperately needed forgiveness and grace. Amen? So remember, when the devil looks to interrupt and tempt, there's a blessing in there if we don't fall into the trap and if we keep our eyes open for it. Jesus stayed alert, and he kept his eyes and ears and heart open for the blessing there. So now after that whole encounter, we just read this, first thing Jesus says after this is, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Back in the beginning, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And that greater light that he made back on day four and put up in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, that sun that literally allows for life and light and warmth and heat on this earth, that greater light was a picture of the true greater light to come, the light of the world. It's Jesus Christ. He's like the sun. By the way, he says, he that followeth me. Listen, you must follow the moving sun. It does not follow you. It will visit you, but it stays its own course. You can read Psalm chapter 19 and see what I'm talking about. He that followeth me, you got to follow him, shall not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. That is a promise of God. He is the light of the world. And if we will follow him, we shall not walk in darkness. Not maybe not, not sometimes, no, shall not walk in darkness. That is a promise of the word of Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at darkness before. But to really understand darkness, a great book to look at is 1 John. It's also a great book to look at to understand light. Darkness is hate. Darkness is unrighteousness. Darkness is denying the truth of God. It's denying Jesus as the Christ. And darkness is something that blinds. But you know what? If we follow him, the light of the world, we shall not walk in darkness. But not only will we not walk in darkness, but we shall have. He says, but shall have. That's possessive. You'll possess it. Not just you get to be by it. Not just you'll get to walk along it, but you'll have the light of life. Amen? Come on. Back in chapter 1, right? Back in chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But guess what? If you follow him and you walk in that light, you not only will not walk in darkness, but not only will you walk in the light, but you'll have the light of life. You say, what do you mean? Well, he is the light of life. He is the life in the light. But guess what? Not only do you get to walk alongside him, but in verse 12, but as many as received him. Verse 13, the Pharisees accuse him. They accuse him of two things. They say, you bear record of yourself. And what they mean is that you're just seeking your own glory. You're just promoting yourself. Thou bearest record of thyself. And the second thing they accuse him of is they say, thy record is not true. So basically, they're calling him a liar. They might not say, you're a liar, but that's pretty much what they're saying. What's Jesus' response? Verse 14 to 18. Jesus' response, he deals with a few things. The first thing he deals with is that he does bear record of himself, yes, but his record is true. So I'm going to see he doesn't bear record of himself the way they're accusing him. But he is, yes, he is preaching about himself. He is opening up himself because that's their only hope. That's our only hope. That's only one's only hope. Is that Jesus came to this earth and opened up himself, proclaimed himself, so that through him we could know the Father. So he is bearing record of himself, but he's going to explain why his record is true. So he defends that other accusation that his record's not true. No, no, no. His record is true. By the way, record, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says that there are three that bear record in heaven. Wonder who those are. Well, if you got a modern Bible, you're not going to know who they are because they cut it out. Praise God for the old King James Bible, the Bible that's pure and true and holy. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. And guess what? Not only are these three one, but in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Hallelujah. So they're bearing record up there. They have eternal life up there. They're from everlasting to everlasting up there. But guess what? They didn't just stay up there. The Father sent His Son and gave us His Son, and that through His Son, we can have this eternal life. Amen. Record. Jesus says, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Why? Because He's the one that's been bearing record in heaven since the beginning. Now, why is His record true? He gives two reasons. First thing, because He knows whence He comes. He knows where He comes from. Where does He come from? He comes from glory. His goings forth are of old. Micah 5 verse 2. We prophesied that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And yes, He'd be born. But He's not from Bethlehem Ephratah. His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Everlasting. That's even before the beginning. John 17, verse 5, later Jesus will say this when He prays. He says, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. He knows where He came from. He came from the Father. He came from heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, eternal glory. Before the beginning, eternal glory. He knows where He came from. And just think it's important. If we're going to follow Christ, we should also know where we come from. And what I mean by that is we should know where our old man comes from. Let's never forget what manner of man we are. No matter how much Christ does in us, let's not get too high and lifted up in ourselves. Let's remember what manner of man we were so that we may remain humble to reach out to others. We're not the eternal one from the beginning. We were sinners who were saved by Christ's grace. But we should also know where our new man comes from. Our new man comes from above, planted by the seed of the Father in our hearts. And that new man is from the Father. So we can walk in newness of life. Amen. Jesus knew where He came from. Now that He knew where He came from, but He knew where He was going. This is why His record is true, according to Jesus. He knows where He comes from. He knows where He's going. Where is He going? He's going back to glory with His Father. He's going back to where He came from. And you know what? As we follow Christ, we should know too where we're going. Amen? Read Hebrews chapter 12. Our approach, if we're following Jesus in truth, our approach is to Mount Zion. It's to heavenly Jerusalem above. It's to the city of the living God. That's where we're headed. So the first thing, His first response is He bears record of Himself, yet His record is true. But then the second thing He's going to deal with, He's going to deal with judgment. Verses 15 through 18, He's going to deal with judgment. And first thing He wants to point out is that the Pharisees judge after the flesh. That's bad judgment. Okay? Jesus commanded in the last chapter to judge not according to appearance. That's what the Pharisees judge. And that's natural to judge that way. Even Samuel, the great prophet, at first, when he was presented with Jesse's sons, he judged after the flesh, but God had to rebuke him and say, no, 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 don't look on the outward appearance. That's how man judges. I'm looking at the heart. And so we have to learn to judge righteously. The Pharisees, they weren't going to learn to judge righteously. They're judging after the flesh. But then there's Christ's judgment. And He judges no man, is what He declares. Now that doesn't mean eternally He judges no man, because we know He's the judge of quick and dead. He's the final judge that everybody's going to have to answer to on judgment day. Everybody's going to stand before His judgment seat. So He judges no man. He's talking about in His ministry, He didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. Remember, at the beginning of this chapter, they brought a woman caught in adultery. They're judging, going, she needs to die, she needs to die. By the way, they weren't judging according to God's law, because God's law never condemned just a woman. It was always going to be a woman with the man who was committing adultery with her. How come they're just bringing a woman? They're judging after the flesh. Their judgment is crooked. Their judgment is corrupt. And guess what? He didn't come to judge. So even though rightfully He might have been able to condemn her, He didn't come to condemn. He came to save her. Now notice, in saving her, he doesn't just say, hey, no big deal, love you, got a great plan for your life. He goes, listen, if no man condemns you, I'm not condemning you, but go and sin no more. That's true grace, to call us to newness of life. So he doesn't judge right now, and yet he's going to judge because he is the judge, and his judgment is true. He says in verse 16, yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Amen? His judgment is true. Read Isaiah 11, verses 3 through 4. His judgment is true because he has the Spirit of the Lord. He has the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord made him of quick understanding to judge righteously. Not according to what he heard with his ears, not according to what he saw with his eyes, but according to what the Spirit of the living God was teaching him. Because why? Because he says, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Jesus wasn't alone. Amen? In chapter 10, verse 30, he'll say, I and my Father are one. They're joined. They're not alone. The Father who sent him is with him. And that's why his judgment was true, because he wasn't judging from outward. He was judging from the Spirit of the Father that was within, speaking and teaching him. And by the way, if we're going to walk in Jesus Christ, if we're going to be ministers of Jesus Christ, it's important that we don't just run. He has to send us. And if he sends us, he's with us. And we must walk according to him. Notice, I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. If God sends you, he'll be with you. That's why when Jesus sent the 11 apostles after he rose from the dead, he sent them into all the earth, and he said, lo, I'm with you always. Why? If he sends you, he's with you. Now, if you just run off on your own in the name of Jesus, you might have the name of Jesus, doesn't necessarily mean he's with you. But if he sends you, he's with you. And in all this that Jesus is unfolding, it's all confirmed by the law, which of course it would be. It's the law of God. Jesus Christ is the one who gave it. So, it is written in your law. It's also written in your law, verse 17, that the testimony of two men is true. Remember, you never receive the testimony of only one man. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means we don't take one man's opinion for it. It's always going to be confirmed by at least two or three. And so again, even if you look at this book, before Jesus came, John the Baptist is preaching. Two testimonies. But then obviously in the spiritual sense, Jesus is not ministering alone. All through Christ's ministry, he's going, it's my Father and it's me. He's the one who sent me. He's the one who gave me this authority. He's the one who gave me the words to speak. It's Father and Son. And even when Jesus sends them out to preach the gospel, he's going to send them out two by two. Two by two. So in a human standpoint, there's two witnesses. And yet, even if you got to go alone like Philip in Acts 8, you're not alone because the Holy Ghost is right there bearing witness. Two witnesses. It's always got to be at least two. Always at least two. So then the Jews, they can't really deal with all this information. They can't really refute him. So they just say, where is thy Father? You know, when you deal with people who have no heart for the truth, they have no heart for humility and repentance. When you get into the trenches of understanding and doctrine with them, they're not going to really stay in the trenches with you. They're going to try and deflect with another question. Whenever you're talking to someone, you see them keep trying to deflect with a different question, deflect with a different question, you're going to be pretty sure that person has no interest and what you're saying, and they definitely don't believe you. So they just deflect. Where is thy Father? Now notice, Jesus doesn't answer their question. I love this. Jesus doesn't answer their question directly. He's going to kind of deal with it, but he's going to, again, Jesus as a minister of truth is always driving at the conscience. He's driving at the conscience. He's driving towards the heart. He's not just dealing with intellectual debates. So how does he respond? He says, ye neither know me nor my Father. Where is your Father? He didn't try to go, well, he's up in heaven. Or, well, no, you neither know me nor my Father. Just shaming them. Because they should have known. But they didn't. By the way, you can't know one without the other. You need to know both. John 17:3, when Jesus prayed to the Father, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, people were being called into the fellowship of the Father and of the Son, Jesus Christ. 2 John, if you continue in the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. He says, you've neither known me nor my Father. And he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Amen. Why? Because the Father dwells in the Son, and the Son dwells in the Father. Now, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. I just love this. Jesus is opening up some of the greatest treasures in heaven and earth here in the treasury. I mean, the treasury is where the funds dwelt. It's where certain things were kept safe, things that were valuable. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, goes into that treasury and he teaches in the treasury. Why? Because he's opening up treasures of the kingdom of God. Opening up treasures. I love it. I love it. He's opening up treasures about the Father and the Son. He's opening up treasures about his record, about his judgment, about his witness, about his knowledge. These are eternal treasures that will never fail. And so, as we get ready to close this session, have you spent time with Jesus in the treasury? You know, Jesus is sitting in his holy temple. He's sitting amongst his churches. And he's sitting in the spiritual treasury, bringing forth treasures. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught many wonderful parables of the kingdom of heaven. And you know what he said at the very end? He said, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Hallelujah. You know who the ultimate householder is? The ultimate scribe of the kingdom of heaven? The ultimate one that's sitting in the treasury, teaching and unfolding the eternal mysteries of God, bringing forth things that are new and things that have been from old, from everlasting? His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And no matter what anybody says about him, and no matter what any religion or church says about him, his record is true. And his judgment is true. Because he's not alone. But the Father that sent him is bearing witness with him. And the Father sent the Son, and now the Son has sent the Spirit. And the Spirit has called the bride. And now the Spirit and the bride say, come, 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 come to the light of the world. The one who shines so far above anything and everything of this earth. The one who comes to bring the light of life. Come to him. Listen. The sun doesn't follow you. It will visit you. But you must follow it. And the Son of God didn't come to follow us. No. He'll visit you. But you must follow him. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is session number 54 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Amen and amen.